You know I'm a faggot. That much is true. Well, I'm just a faggot on my knees for you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Hierarchy Podcast. It's a production of the website fagsworshipalphas.com. I'm Sam the Faggot, and today I've got a special guest on the podcast. This is a cash master who is relatively new to FinDom, but he's not new to the ownership of faggots by any stretch of the imagination. His name is Master Rafael, and he comes from Rio de Janeiro. How do you like my rolled R's? Pretty impressive, huh? Now I'm Puerto Rican. Ole, ole. He is a fascinating. This interview turned out to be very fascinating, and I learned a lot from him. So he deserves a lot of followers, and he deserves a lot of worship because he's the real deal, okay? I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. I know he's got a bunch of faggots that are out there waiting to hear this interview, so I'm eager to get it out to them. So without any more waiting, here is my interview with Master Rafael.
Target acquired.
This is the Hierarchy Podcast exclusive interview.
Okay, I am here with Master Rafael. He is a cash master and also just a general master of faggots from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Say hello, Master.
Hello, hello. How are you?
It's nice to have you on the show, Master.
Thanks for having me.
I always find alphas like you very, very sexy. Obviously, Brazilian alphas are all sexy to me, if I might say so myself. I know my fellow faggots out there love Brazilian masters. So,
have you ever had one from Brazil in your podcast?
No, I have not.
Oh, cool! I'm popping a cherry here.
You're popping my cherry. That's right. It's been a very long time since I've had a cherry, Master, because I'm a fucking slut. I'm just kidding. I actually am. I'm not kidding about that. But how old are you, Master?
I'm 34.
34 years old. Okay. Now, do you consider yourself to be primarily a cash master, or is that just a side kind of part of your alphahood?
Actually, not. I discovered FinDom about 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But I started acting like a master and using faggots. Actually, we talked about this on Twitter. I don't use that word too much. True. But I started using them when I was, 15. I guess 15, 14 years old, around the time I lost my virginity.
To a female or a male?
The first was a guy, and when I was 15 was a girl.
Okay, right, okay. So you used a faggot before you lost your virginity to a female?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Was with a guy from school. Was interesting. And I actually, at the time, I didn't know about hierarchy or things like that. And I just naturally started using him at school.
Right.
So
it was natural. I mean, don't you agree that now that you know more about hierarchy, that it's just a natural thing, right? I mean, you just fell into this role.
Yes. It's a role in life. You just have to accept that both ways.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is a question I wanted to tackle on this podcast. So you and I were having a back and forth about this.
about the use of the word faggot. So it seems like you use the term faggot, but it seems like you use the term faggot and sub as meaning two separate things. That right?
I just avoid using a word that somebody may not be comfortable with, because the word faggot has a lot of cultural references and a lot of social weight. And sometimes the man is a faggot, but he doesn't feel comfortable being called one because of society and stuff like that. And I think actions speak louder than words. And it doesn't matter if the guy doesn't like to be called a faggot if he acts like one. So it doesn't matter what I call him. I'm using him as a faggot, even though I'm not using the word.
So right, exactly.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter to me.
Okay, I see. All right. That's, I guess, one thing I was going to try to impress there, because you mentioned the weight of the word faggot, right? Yeah. Don't you think that can be used as, or is used as a power word between alphas and faggots? So, like, when you call a male a faggot, don't you feel a power surge as an alpha?
Yes, of course. Yeah. But on the other hand, I feel like I have to respect the person's wish not to be called. Yes, because how can I put this? Maybe you don't feel comfortable at the very beginning to be called a faggot.
Yeah.
But as you are being used, as you gain trust, you discover yourself as a faggot.
So you're talking about the first time.
Yeah. I don't approach a sub calling him a faggot right away, unless the person already presents himself as a faggot. So yeah. That's another story.
Like you,
for instance, I have no problem calling you a faggot because you feel good about it.
Yeah, I'm identified that way, so it's I'd be disappointed, I think, if you didn't call me a faggot.
Why wouldn't I?
Exactly. I mean, I've accepted that role a long time ago. That's what I am. So
Yeah, you said the right words here. You accepted that role, mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes people some time to reach that level.
Right.
So I'm not here to push. I'm not here to force. I'm here to guide them into that place, into that mindset, to be comfortable being called a faggot, to be comfortable being used as a faggot in the whole meaning of the word.
Yeah, that's very wise. I'm just going to say that's very wise of you, because some alphas do try to force things and it causes the faggot to rebel or, pull away or something.
Yeah, can be scared.
Right. You guide them to the correct answer so they accept it,
Exactly.
That's smart. That's very wise. That's why you're on this podcast.
Thank you.
Because you are a master. the first faggot that you used when you were 15.
Yeah, I think I was 15 or 14. I don't know. It was a guy from school.
Mm-hmm. Somebody your age?
Yeah, it was for my class, actually.
Oh, okay. How convenient.
Yeah. One of those things after gym.
Uh-huh.
We're changing clothes, and he was looking at me, and then a couple of days later, I cornered him. I actually used the equivalent of the word faggot we have in Portuguese.
Which is that? What is that word?
Viado.
Viado?
Yes, viado.
Hmm. How do you spell that?
V-I-A-D-O.
Oh, okay. Viado. Okay.
And I asked him that if he was one, and he said no. And I said, come on, you're looking at me after gym the other day. So eventually he sucked me off and he started giving me blowjobs in school during recess and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then I talked to a friend of mine about it. and he wanted to try it. So I invited this guy over to my house to play video games or something. And my friend was there, and as we were playing, I don't remember the game.
You invited your faggot.
The fag over. And my friend.
Okay.
That wanted to experience.
He wanted to experience the faggot sucking him off?
Yeah, he okay. wanted to experience being sucked because we were 15. So.
Sure, right, exactly. Okay. Now I understand the story. I thought you meant like the second person wanted to suck you off.
No,
so you told your friend that you had this faggot sucking you off. So
yes.
You said, bring the Viado over to your house and I'm going to get sucked off. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay.
During the game, I just put my dick off and I told him to suck. He was scared. And I said, no, that's okay. Don't worry. And we talked a little bit. He was scared. So I guided him into doing this. I said, we feel more comfortable if my friend is not around. And he said, yeah. So I kind of, quote, send my friend away. He started sucking me off. At five minutes later, my friend came over. And I told him to suck him too.
Oh. Wow.
So that was the first time I shared one.
Yeah.
And you know, the word spread. And
yeah, I bet.
So
your faggot was sucking off half the school by the end of the
week. By the end of the week, yeah, probably. but it was like this. The other boys would come to me asking for permission.
Yeah, of course.
And that
You're
was
like the apex that, alpha of the school.
Yeah, that flicked the switch, you know. It was like, oh, why are they asking my permission to do that? So I kind of have a control over here. So I was discovering this when I was 15.
Yeah,
so this is basically how it started.
That's incredible. That's an incredible experience. The thing is, don't you see that the other alphas that were wanting to use your faggot, they were recognizing your authority.
Yeah.
Naturally. You know, they were paying you respect by asking your permission, which is really, really fascinating from a hierarchical kind of standpoint, you know?
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Naturally, men have this natural kind of natural order built into them, you know? So
yeah.
That's interesting. So you became like the fag pimp.
Yeah, that's a nice word.
Thanks, but so I guess did other faggots present themselves in your class once all this was getting around?
No, it was just this guy. There were other boys that I knew were faggots, but I never tried anything with them.
Oh, okay, that was one lucky faggot.
And it was actually by the end of the school year, too.
Oh.
And after that year, I moved to another school and
started all over again.
No. That's when I started. When I went to the other school, that's when I met a girl. And it was the first girl that I had sex with. Mm-hmm. And we kind of dated for a while. And I didn't use any faggots while I was with her.
Mm.
But it's a different dynamics when you're with a woman and when you're with a faggot. So
absolutely. What do you prefer?
It depends. To have a relationship, women.
Oh, yeah, of course.
To dominate, faggots, but I also don't dominate women, but not as hard. I mean, the things I do with faggots and subs in general, I don't do them with women, or I do some of those stuff, but in a lighter way. I mean, call me a hopeless romantic, if you will, but I don't feel like triggering them that way.
I don't have them eat my ass on the first date. Okay. Call me a romantic.
Yeah.
That's funny. So you went through the rest of high school. You dated that girl for a while, I guess. But
yes, and, during high school and college, I had a couple of girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't use faggots during that time, basically.
When I was dating, no. When I was dating, no.
So you're loyal to the people you date. Or were, anyway.
It's not that I'm loyal. It's just I don't feel the need of using anybody if I'm dating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like to do that as an entertainment.
Mm.
Most of all.
Okay.
But as the years went by, I started studying more about BDSM and the pleasures of dominating. And
yeah,
I have spent a long time without dating anyone because I was so into BDSM. Mm. I think the last girlfriend I had was when I was in college, and that's quite a while ago.
Yeah. 10 years or something like that.
No. I went to 3 courses.
Oh, okay.
I'm majoring in 3 courses.
I see. Okay.
So it was probably 10 years ago.
Right. This is what I mean. Like 10 years ago, since your last girlfriend that you.
Yeah, a serious girlfriend. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. So, so you've been primarily using faggots since then.
Yes, because it's more fun. I mean, having a girlfriend and having a relationship is nice and all, but
sure,
it's a lot of work too, and I just don't have the patience anymore, unless it's something really special. Yeah. So if I'm only into relieving myself and have fun and have some laughs, I'd rather have a faggot than have a girl.
Okay, that's honest. I appreciate that. Now, have you ever? I mean, it seems like you have a wide range of experience in terms of mastering faggots. Have you ever caged any faggots before?
Yes, actually, I have also caged a married man.
Okay. Wow. Really?
Yeah, from the building I live in.
Oh, currently?
Yeah, currently. Yeah. That was in February or March. I don't remember. Because of the pandemic, I haven't mm-hmm. been using anybody in real life. Yeah, because you don't know.
But you have the faggot in your building. You're using him, correct?
Yes, yes. Okay. I live in a big building,
mm-hmm.
so there are a lot of apartments here. And yeah. I found out about this guy and through Grindr. And he said he was married and stuff. And he was
married to a female or a male?
Yes, he's married to a female.
Oh, wow.
So I invited him over to my house. I fucked him. And he said he didn't need to say I picked it up during our thing that he was into being submissive. And I just showed him some toys that I have, and showed him a cage that I have.
Mm-hmm.
He told me his wife was going to be out of town for a week. So gently, I suggested if he wanted to try it while his wife were out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And he got scared, and I said, "No, that's okay. That's okay. We'll be fine. The keys would be with me. You know where I live." Eventually, I convinced him, but he didn't last too long. Mm-hmm. We had an agreement. He were to be locked for 7 days, and he would only be set free after paying me $70, $10 for each day.
Mm.
So he would have his freedom. But if he couldn't make it, he would have to pay me that amount of 7 days plus the days he didn't make it. So he lasted only 3 days. So you do the math. It was fun because he just couldn't handle the pain. And I'm talking about a married guy, a guy sure. who's married to a woman, and he was in custody, and I was holding the keys. That was really hot.
That is interesting. So the faggot's not, the married faggot's not in chastity right now.
No, no, his wife is here.
Right. Okay. So it was just an experiment, basically, for him.
Yes.
Did you place the chastity cage on him?
Did I?
Yeah.
I didn't get the question. Sorry.
Were you the one that put the chastity cage on him?
Yes, I put the cage on him.
Okay. So how many faggots do you currently own?
There's one in the US, one in Italy, one in São Paulo, which is a city here in Brazil.
Right.
And another one in Rio. So four.
Okay. None of those are close to you though, right? I mean,
Actually, the one from the US is the closest one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. Thank God for technology. I'm going to use him tonight. Okay. He just got his social leash last night.
Mm.
I like having them on subs that are really, really loyal.
Okay.
And it's a constant reminder of who they are, who they obey to.
So are you having like a leashing ceremony tonight?
No, that was last night. Tonight it's going to be the first session after he's got his leash on.
Okay.
And he was so proud of it. I mean, I received a message during, I was sleeping. I woke up this morning and there was this message from him. I was just looking myself in the mirror. Mm. And during the ceremony, he was like, I feel I can trust again. And it was a great thing to hear because I guided him through that. And
how long have you owned him?
3 months.
Okay.
It will be 3 months next week.
And now it'll be forever, huh?
Yeah.
Is the faggot in chastity also?
Sometimes, yes. One in Italy is more often.
Okay.
Because of his work, where he mm-hmm. works, he has to go through some metal detectors and
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
But the leash should be okay. Yeah. So that's why the leash. But I have him in custody. Whenever I want him to whore around, I like to tell him to whore around because I cannot physically fuck him. I mean real, and he's in the US. So right. I say you can have sex with any guy you want, but you have to tell me first. I have to approve it first.
Okay.
And I'm one of those guys that the more the merrier, you know?
Yeah, clearly from the very beginning you were like that.
And so I'm okay with him having sex with other guys as long as I know that and as long as he's caged.
Okay. So he must be caged whenever he gets fucked by another alpha? Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Do you, whenever you fuck a faggot, do you make sure that they're caged also?
It depends. It depends because it's not for everybody. In Brazil, we don't have that culture. sorry. In Brazil, we don't have that culture of domination as much as you have in the US or in Europe.
Really?
It's not as widespread as it is in the US or in Europe.
I mean, it seems like most Brazilian men are just naturally dominant, period.
Yes, we are. But I'm talking about owning somebody, having a leash, or paying like obedience to only one alpha. Yeah.
Okay. Like being not, owned, ownership, things like that.
Yeah, these stuff are not that that I know of. I know some masters here, they are very serious about it. I just don't feel like it's that widespread as it is in the US, as it is in Europe. This stud from Italy, for instance, once he went to a beach and he was caged.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me a picture naked on the beach with a cage on. That would never happen here. I mean, I don't I can't fathom that happening here.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe because of the culture. Brazil is a very Christian country with a lot of dogmas still.
Sure, but I do think that if men saw a faggot caged on the beach naked, I think that they would get the idea pretty quickly that they can and should use that faggot. You know, like men are very, I mean, when you strip away all the religion and everything else, men are men.
Yes.
And so, like, you know, a faggot goes into a locker room anywhere in the world with and is naked with a cage on, the men are going to look at it and see. They're going to know exactly what's going on with that.
Yeah, I had an experience like that. I had this faggot that was a cash fag.
Okay. Only?
Only.
Okay.
I got him caged. We went to a mall, and he wanted to buy me some clothes. And I said, okay, let's do it. So we went to a store, and I picked up some jeans and some shirts. And he was standing beside me, and the sales guy, he asked something. I said, no, don't worry about him. He's just the loser that's gonna pay the bill. And I went to the dressing room and to try on the clothes, and he was standing there. And when I went to pay for the clothes, the guy couldn't keep his laugh to himself, the salesperson. So he knew what was going on.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, men know. It's just it's a natural thing. I mean, people don't believe me when I say this, but it's just the truth that men know this stuff just naturally. And you don't have to play any kind of games with men.
Yeah,
that they just know innately the stuff. So, I think a lot of times I preach this to faggots all the time on the website, is like that. Just trust that men are paying attention and they know what to do. You just have to make yourself available.
Yes.
For use, and men will use you. Okay, one way or the other.
One way or the other. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why the jocks have the nerds having them doing their homework at school.
Exactly.
You know.
Right. The hierarchy is all over the place, particularly in school.
And in a lot of different forms.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, right, taking their lunch money, making them do homework, on to blowjobs and fucking and everything else. Like, it's just,
Even at work. Yep. I mean, mm-hmm. There was this guy who worked in an office once. Whenever I got to the office, he would leave his table for me to use it, and he would go to another one because he knew I liked that table.
Yeah.
And I just mentioned, I like this table. I like working on this table.
That's all it takes.
That's all I said. I didn't ask him. I didn't told him. I didn't tell him.
Right.
I just mentioned I like working on this table. And surely a couple of days later, he was leaving the table whenever I got to the office and was like, oh, that he got it.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I call it alpha privilege, you know.
Yes. We should have special seats on public transportation.
Okay. I like where that's going. But I mean, like, it's alpha privilege is even just natural, just like what that beta male did, I guess, with that table. He recognized that you're a superior man, so he gave it up for you.
Yeah.
It's just natural.
Yeah, it just happens.
Exactly. It's just like magic, you know. You were born superior, born dominant, and men just sense that on you.
Exactly.
That must be pretty nice to live life like that, Master.
Yeah, it is. But I have to say, it's something that I don't think about it too much.
Exactly.
I mean, I think you notice it. Yeah, it was a big deal when I was younger, when I was discovering this, when I was in my early 20s. And but now that I'm 34, I'm like, okay, that's the way.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. So I don't feel starstruck anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's now it's just a way of life, you know, but when you first were discovering it.
Yeah, when I was discovering, I was like a kid in a toy store on Christmas Eve with Santa Claus at Disneyland. But...
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's, I mean, I can't imagine it. Obviously, I'm a faggot, not an alpha, so I've never had that. I've discovered a world of duties instead.
Yeah.
Every alpha that I've talked to, like you, who is aware of their alphahood in kind of a deep way, you know, it sounds like you are very much in touch with that.
Like tonight, let me just read you the message I sent my sub from the US. Let me just find it here. I told him he's working, okay, blah, blah, blah. I told him, just let me know. I have nothing to do tomorrow morning, so I can go to bed a little later tonight, because he would get home from work later tonight. And I said, after all, it was our first full session with you as a proud Irish boy. And he said, sim, senhor. He learned to say sim, senhor. Sim, senhor means yes, sir, in Portuguese.
Yes.
And I told him, make sure the toys are charged, because I use him using those, you know, those Lovance toys that you can control remotely.
Yes, exactly.
He has two, but an S plug and a flashlight.
Oh.
And I like using them both.
Okay.
While he's on poppers.
Hmm.
So yeah, I said, make sure the toys are charged. Tonight I want to use the whole thing, toy synced. You going as hard as you can on poppers, because I want to get you good and weak and begging to serve. And then when I told him I was going to record the podcast tonight, he said, really? And I said, yes. And so you can imagine how hardwired I'm going to be tonight. And he was like, oh my God.
That's great.
So well, yeah, tonight would be one for the books.
Now, this includes draining financially, correct?
Tonight, yes.
Okay. Good. Is the faggot wealthy, or?
I'm always
reasonably wealthy.
No, what matters the most for me is that they're financially healthy.
Yeah.
Because I don't want a sub getting in debt. I actually once sent money back to one. Yes, because he made a debt with a bank. And I said, I don't want you having debt with bank.
Okay.
So here's your money back. I don't want that money. I don't need that money.
Yeah.
I think Findom is just another way to serve. Right. And I much rather having a sub doing small trainings than paying a whole amount at first, and then he vanishes.
Loyalty is better than...
Yes, yes. And with this guy, for instance, we do a lot of stuff, and I don't drain him every time. I mean, I don't need to. I don't have to.
Right.
But it's a lot better when it's done after a session, when we're both satisfied. He's satisfied being used remotely, and I'm satisfied using him as hard as I can, because it's amazing how far technology has come to make you come. You know?
Right. Sure.
Just think about that. It's a S plug that I can control in another country using an app.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean,
but somebody thought of that because there's a need for it, you know.
Thank God somebody thought of that. Thank God.
That's funny. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's interesting, like, that you would even bother using like a remote flashlight on a faggot's dick. I mean, I just I don't mind.
I don't mind. It's it's just edging.
Okay, I see. Do you make him come anally, basically? That's
only when only when he's told to. And he has when he's told to.
Oh, told to. Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
He's not allowed to come unless I tell him to.
Okay. I see. I tend to think that I don't know. Since I've been in chastity, which has been about a year and a half now, I've just come to a total appreciation for chastity. Like, I never really gave it much thought because I never really masturbated.
Mm-hmm.
I would never ever masturbate when serving men, ever, you know. It never even occurred to me to do that. But, like, going into chastity, though, gave me just a new appreciation for why faggots should be in cages. Because we just need to have that part of us taken away, you know what I'm saying? So that,
you know, I know.
Because we're not equal to men.
Definitely not. But I don't deny this thing to my subs or my faggots, whatever you want to call them. But
that's whatever you want to call them, master.
Yes, yeah, because words are meaningless to me. I don't mind them coming or
okay,
but they must ask me to.
Mm-hmm.
They must come with my permission. If I said so, no, then it's no.
Okay, so it's all it's about control for you.
Yeah, for me it's more about control than anything else. Yes,
that's nice. Have you ever owned a live-in faggot before?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually,
how was that?
Actually, I had two at the same time.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That was 6 years ago, something like that. Yeah, it was 6 years ago. Those two also had social issues.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I had a ring for each one.
Hmm.
So the necklaces on their necks would represent the leash on the streets.
Yes.
And the rings on my fingers would represent the grip of the leashes. So I would constantly remind them. I would take pictures of me at work, just the rings.
Okay.
To tell them, okay, I might not be with you right now. I'm at work right now, but
I own you.
Yeah.
Very good.
And they would do stuff in my house. I mean, I didn't necessarily have sex with them.
At the time. You didn't? Okay.
Not necessarily. Only when I was into. One of them liked to be treated as a houseboy, and I liked to use him as a houseboy. So,
like a domestic faggot.
Yes, it was just when I moved from my parents' house, and I would have my friends over for drinks or
right.
If we're a pre-party, if we're going out, he would come over in the afternoon, prepare everything, and he would hang out with us, like one of the guys.
Oh gosh, really?
But he would be the one serving the beer. He would be the one serving the food.
So he would be serving as the house faggot.
The house faggot, but I was the only one who knew that.
I see. Okay. That's interesting. And for my friends,
didn't
catch on?
No, actually no.
Oh wow, that's interesting.
Actually no, because I didn't used to give him orders specifically. Mm-hmm. He was like, "I'm getting a beer. Does somebody want some?" And okay. Everybody, "Oh yeah, bring me one."
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So it was a little cold that we had.
Interesting.
And surely enough, when the time to go to the party, we would leave my apartment and he would stay in my apartment. Cleaning up. He would leave the key under the mat and go to his house. And so I would have the house nice and clean, and when I get home with somebody, either another faggot or a girl. So
okay. So you had two faggots at the same time. So yeah. that faggot didn't live with you though. So
No, he didn't. But he lived nearby. He lived on my street, so.
Okay. So and then the other faggot lived in your house?
No, in my house I never had one.
Oh, you never, okay, so you never had a live-in faggot.
Oh, yeah, no, 24/7, no, but
okay.
I had on weekends on
mm-hmm. okay.
days off.
Right, they would stay overnight or something.
Yeah, like yeah.
See. Okay, and I guess you would fuck them then.
Sometimes, yes. Okay. Sometimes I would fuck them, sometimes I would just play with toys.
Okay.
I like playing with toys.
I can tell.
All my toys.
You have a wide variety of toys at your house?
I had a few.
Okay. Do your friends ever wonder why you've got like a rack of whips and stuff on your wall? That's good.
No. They are hidden because
okay.
I have kids coming over my house.
You better keep those up.
Yeah.
Somewhere. You better keep them in the attic.
Exactly.
Kids will find it.
Up high in the closet. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So when a faggot stays over at your house, do you allow the faggot to sleep in your bed or does it sleep on the floor?
No, on the floor always.
Okay, yeah, okay. Just like on a bed, a small bed on the floor, or like they just lay on the floor with the blanket over them or what?
It depends on how cold it is.
Okay.
If it's too cold, get a rug and put it on the floor.
Okay, that's interesting.
But then, if I had a faggot over to sleep in my house, then he would be caged all the time.
Like in a cage, like a dog.
No, caged with his clits caged. Oh,
chastity cage.
Yeah, okay. Chastity cage. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I don't have a room to have a dog cage. I mean, I would love to, but.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about like piss play and things like that? Do you?
I love it.
Yeah. Wow! I think I hit a hot spot with you all of a sudden.
I love it.
Like he practically growled that.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So you prefer your faggots to drink your piss?
Definitely, yes.
Okay. Like you would rather just like be sitting on a couch and just have your faggot come over and drain your bladder into your faggot rather than get up and go to the bathroom?
Yes, especially if I'm playing video games and I can pause.
Okay. Do you prefer to piss on them or in them?
I prefer to piss in them.
Okay. So you believe they should drink your piss?
Yeah. But I understand if they are not comfortable with that.
You guide them to that.
Yeah. Yes. Because I understand that's not for everybody.
But it will be for everybody.
But yeah. I understand it's not for everybody at first.
Right.
So okay, you'd rather be pissed on? That's all right. I'm gonna piss on you. Uh-huh. Not on my face. That's okay. I'm not pissing on your face. Don't worry about it. But oops. And they have
it in your mouth.
Oops, it got in your mouth a little bit. How did it taste? And they see it's not that bad. So that way you start training them.
Are you master? You're a salesman?
I'm not a salesman. I'm a teacher.
Okay. Well,
I'm a teacher and I sing in a heavy metal band here.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We're actually recording an album
later this
year. Yeah.
A Latino heavy metal band?
No, we sing in English.
Okay.
And we have a couple of songs in Portuguese also. Yeah. It's kind of Guns N' Roses, Iron Maiden, Motorhead stuff.
Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know if Guns N' Roses isn't heavy metal, but...
Yeah, it's not, but...
So it's got some melody to it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's not the kind of metal that you go...
Okay, like you can't understand anything.
Yeah.
Are the songs about, like, piss drinking and stuff, or what?
No, because...
ass plugging?
No, but we do have a song called That's How We Roll.
Hmm.
It's a new song that we just did, and it talks about having a one-night stand and having your way with the person.
Okay.
And having the person, I'm not using pronouns in the song, because
it can be anybody.
It can be about anybody. And it was actually about an experience my guitar player told me. He had a girl over, and the neighbor from downstairs was complaining about the noise. So the song is about that.
Okay.
Having a one-night stand and let the other person moan as hard as they can
and just let their freak flag fly, right?
Yeah, there's a part of the song that says, don't mind your moans, it's a part of the show. Let's give the neighbors a piece of action, a lesson to learn if they're paying attention. So, and there's a section where there's just moaning. I'm like, following the beat of the drum, and I'm like, and it goes for kind of like Whole Lotta Love from Led Zeppelin. You should check it out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Hopefully you release some of it online so people can get a taste.
Yeah. Hopefully next year. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So you're in the studio, like a professional studio doing this or what?
Yeah. Okay, we're just finishing the songs and, because of COVID, we're not rehearsing as frequently as we would like.
Right.
But
did you guys have to scrape together the money to like produce the album yourself, or how did that work?
No, we're producing ourselves.
Okay, right, exactly. But that's what I mean. You had to pull the money together yourself to do that.
Well, that's what one of the things Findom is for. I mean, I don't know.
I was just about to say that. And then
I don't know about the other guys in the band, but
do they have cash bags too?
No, they are straight men. One of them is married. Another one has a girlfriend, and the other one is single.
There's lots of straight.
Yeah. So I don't think they're into that, because I wrote a song about. Let me see if I can find it. I wrote a song, actually just the lyrics, and. When I showed that to my guitar player, he was like, dude, are you okay? where the fuck is that?
Maybe if you showed them how much money you were making from Findom, maybe they might change their mind about it.
I just found the lyrics. It's like, I love the way you're looking at me as I stare into your eyes while I get inside your mind and work my way to make it mine. I love the deep breaths that you take every time you see my face. When your sense of control breaks, it just becomes mine. When two minds become one, yours take the toll. You just wait till I say go, and you don't look behind. We synchronize our breath, our eyes, no words spoken. We transcend into a higher ground, and you just wait to be woken, then broken, teared apart, and without even realizing, you suddenly became mine. Mm. And when I showed that to my guitar player, he was like, dude, are you okay?
Those are very good lyrics, honestly. For
thanks.
For especially when you know the meaning behind them. You know?
Yeah, I wrote that after a session with a guy from France, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if he lives in France or if he is French. It was a couple of months ago. So we had a Skype session, and I just the words just came to me. I felt like writing, so I wrote those lyrics. Maybe it doesn't become a song in my band, but maybe a solo song. I don't know, because I like the lyrics.
Are you just a singer, or do you play guitar, or what do you?
I'm a singer. I can play a little bit of guitar and keyboards and drums.
So you're mostly a front man, though.
Yeah, I'm the front man because that's the place when I feel more comfortable in a band. I need to be the front man.
The leader.
Yeah, the leader. So it has a lot to do with the alpha thing.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. Yes. Once when I was 19, I played a festival for, I don't know, 5,000 people. Mm. And you know Freddie Mercury?
Of course I do.
Of course. You know those things that Freddie used to do? He would chant something in the
Ayo.
Crowd.
Ayo.
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 We used to play Another One Bites the Dust. And I had a Queen shirt on, and I asked, does anybody here like Queen? Yeah, let me see if you like them. So I said, ayo, and everybody, ayo, and I had like 5,000 people in my hand. That felt amazing. So that's when I realized, okay, I'm a frontman.
Yeah, definitely.
And it has something to do with the alpha thing, because you're leading the band, you're leading the crowd. You get
I mean, here's the thing, like, Freddie was probably a faggot, but, you know, he led a band.
Yeah.
You know, but he was just
there's a dichotomy there. There's a dichotomy there.
Yeah, for sure. I think you just have to be in kind of in tune one where, on one end of the hierarchy or the other, to be a front man for a band, you know, because, like,
yeah.
You have to plug into something bigger than yourself, you know.
And that's really, to be honest, it's you said Freddie was probably a faggot, but there's a guy called Rob Halford. You know him?
Yeah, I do.
So he's openly gay too, and he's frontman of a band called Judas Priest.
I think he's probably an alpha.
Yes, exactly.
Alpha. Yeah.
That's the vibe that I also get.
Sure. I don't think it's just because of the leather either. It's just the way he handles himself. Yeah.
Yes, the way he presents himself on stage. I had the privilege of seeing Judas Priest a couple of times, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I love their poppier music. Head Out to the Highway, Got Another Thing Coming.
Yeah, Breaking the Law.
Breaking the Law. Yeah, I mean. That kind
Pain
of
killer.
Yep. So, see, Master, we can make a pretty good team, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you got to prepare for your session with your faggot tonight.
Yeah.
I hope it goes very well now that you have him collared.
Really happy about that.
Of course,
he's really
like
happy.
Collaring is such an intimate thing. I, speaking as a faggot, you know, it's like having a wedding ring.
Yes,
from a man, and to a faggot, it's very deeply, it's very deeply like in a humiliating way, but in a good humiliation way.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm always going for the good humiliation thing.
I can tell that. Yes, I can tell that. Because you're leading these faggots to their destiny, you know, and
exactly.
So, and that's a step, a good humiliation. I just wrote about this actually.
You did.
I called it targeted humiliation.
Oh yeah. And, I saw the post, but I didn't.
Yeah. Oh well, thanks a lot. Just kidding. But
no. I was browsing on Twitter and I saw that, mm-hmm. Doing something on the street. So.
I understand. But I just wrote about that, you know, how alphas use targeted humiliation to assist faggots, you know, and it's very, very true. And like you seem to be a master of it, honestly. So it's good that we decided to have this interview, because you're definitely somebody that knows what they're doing with faggots and the minds of faggots, you know.
Yeah, I actually once, there was this guy, I think was from Germany, and straight guy, he was about to get married. I think he's going to get married next month. But he's a beggar, and he's a submissive man, but mm-hmm. his fiance is too vanilla. So he would look on Twitter for people to dominate him. And mm-hmm. he ended up on my DMs. Mm-hmm. So I basically, after, I remember telling him, we're going to talk, we're going to chat, and I'm going to pick up stuff you're going to tell me, and I'm going to use them against you, and you won't even notice. And he was mm-hmm. like, what do you mean? I said, I just did. I managed him to, when having sex with his wife to be, he wouldn't touch his dick. Mm. He would be there for her. He would be there for her pleasure. The only thing he would have in mind would be giving her an orgasm without putting his dick inside her pussy. Mm. And he was going to do that because I was telling him to do that.
Right.
And after he got his fiance going off, then he would be able to use his dick. But the priority was having an orgasm for her without using his dick. And those words got into his mind, and I got a message from him after, saying, I can't believe I did that. I was having sex with my wife. I was trying not to fuck her, but I wanted to do that. And I hope I didn't break any marriages, because he vanished from Twitter.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, but was
maybe scared him?
Yeah, I probably did, because maybe it was too much of mind controlling for him. But I don't care. I had my fun.
Well, and plus, I mean, just the power that you were basically present in their sexual engagement, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You were in there mentally, and that's a kind of power that some random findom transaction cannot match.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Master, it's been an extraordinary privilege to get to talk to you. I learned a lot from you today, and I know my audience did too. So. I thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. Why don't you tell everybody where they can get a hold of you?
You can hit me up on Twitter.
What's your handle?
Findom_RealBR.
Okay. You don't have OnlyFans, right?
No, I don't.
Okay. You're missing out on a bunch of money there, Master.
Yeah, but I'm not into this for the money. I'm into this for the fun. So
true. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well,
I actually bought a car today, and
you did.
Okay. Part of the money came from Findom. Yeah. So
okay, that's nice. That feels pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, you think about it. My faggots gave you this car. You know, helped me buy this car.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
yeah. That's great. It's just the way it should be, right?
Right.
Well, Master, I hope you have a wonderful time tonight, and I look forward to keep talking to you on Twitter and whatnot. But thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Master. Bye.
Bye.
End transmission.
You know, one thing I really, really loved about him is his ability to control faggots through the application of mind control, almost in a way. He's very that's why I asked him if he was a salesman at one point in the interview, because some of the things that he uses on his faggots are sales techniques, you know. So if anybody out there is a salesperson, you might recognize what I'm talking about. But he doesn't do sales, but he definitely sells faggots on their purpose. And, you know, honestly, the best masters do that for their faggots. It, you know, I'm always really excited to come across an alpha master of faggots who takes their commission seriously, you know, that faggots are property that is to be trained and molded and, you know, brought to fulfillment of purpose, you know, under the guidance of the master. And Master Raphael ticks all those boxes. So I highly recommend that all you faggots out there who are looking for a good master, one who understands what you need, okay, I highly recommend you go to his Twitter account. It's at findom_RIOBR. And I highly recommend that you get in touch with him. I think you will find him to be just as enlightening as I found him to be in this interview. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it a lot. It's one of my favorite interviews, honestly. And I didn't know that much about Master Raphael, unlike many of the other alphas that I've interviewed. So this was a discovery for me. I was discovering it alongside you. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. I will talk to you soon, okay? Take care. Love ya. Bye.